service, dealing with being diligent. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 58. I mean chapter number 15 and verse number 58. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Verse number 58. We'll start at verse number 55. Says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now at home we've been started talking about being diligent. Diligent. What is diligence? Diligence is the ability to be able to keep going. It is the ability to be able to keep going despite setbacks, despite shortcomings, or despite having obstacles. It is a sense of determination to stick with something, to stick with something until you have achieved your desired outcome. Now, diligence is always going to be an essential for any type of success. You know, I was thinking about that, whether you're learning a new skill set or a trade. One of the biggest things you find people being diligent at is when they're exercising. You'll notice they tell you, you're not going to get abs overnight. They tell you, you have to be diligent in this thing. In other words, you have to have a sense of determination, a sense of keep going. And I always thought about this, a good example, we were working on this at home. Someone who really displayed diligence was a gentleman by the name of Thomas Edison. He was the one who invented light bulbs. But what was noticeable about that invention was not the light bulb. What he was known for was his diligence in inventing the light bulb. It is recorded that 1,000 unsuccessful attempts was made before he found success with that light bulb. It's a good example of what diligence, what it looks like for a person to be diligent at a thing. It doesn't mean that every time I make an attempt is going to always be, I'm going to find the goal or whatever. But I keep working at it. I keep striving at it. It's a, I have a sense of determination that I'm not going to let this shortcoming, or I'm not going to let this setback be kind of the final result for my life. And I always think about that when I came into holiness. That was one of the biggest lessons I had to learn. When I decided that I wanted to be a part of this. See, this is not just no ordinary holiness. This is not the holiness of what most people think. This is called true. True holiness. And true holiness, it deals with your way of life. And it deals with your living. That's what it tackles. That's what the word of Jesus really starts to dig into. What is your life like? What are you doing behind these church walls? When you're out there by yourself, what are you doing? And these are things that Jesus drives. And in true holiness, he tells us the importance of diligence. He lets us know that as saints, it's not that we're not going to have shortcomings. That was one of the biggest lessons I had to learn in this walk. I had to learn that just because I decided I wanted to seek Jesus, it didn't mean that all my problems stopped. You know, life kept on presenting itself. The challenges, they kept on coming, and they kept coming. It didn't stop because I decided that I wanted to be saved. It constantly kept presenting itself.
Yep.
But what was interesting was the message the saints kept driving.
Yep.
They kept saying, just keep on calling.
Right.
Even when I had a setback, the saints never encouraged me to quit.
No.
They never encouraged me to throw in the towel.
Right.
They said, just keep calling.
Keep calling them, yep.
When I felt discouraged, felt like I didn't have the energy to come, the saints would say, just keep coming.
Right.
If you can just keep coming through the door.
Right.
Everything kept driving home the concept of being diligent.
Right.
This is not a up down thing.
No.
Yeah.
We can't be in this for the moment.
Right.
You know, a lot of people do holiness for the moment.
For the moment.
You know, the Sunday only moment.
Right.
The Sunday morning moment.
Right.
Then when church is over, they over.
They over. Yep.
There's nothing to them. It doesn't bother them to see them do all manner of things outside of church.
Because
they're only in it for the moment.
Right.
But when you come into true holiness, you cannot be in this for the moment.
Right.
You can't just be in this for the good times only. That's a wavering faith.
Right.
That's a faith. James said, don't let that man think he's going to receive anything from the Lord. Jesus wants to see some sustainability in your faith.
Right.
He wants to see some consistency.
Right.
He wants to see persistence.
Right.
That little paper album of Elder Williams.
Mm-hmm.
She gave us all those little words to help us understand what does it look like for me to be diligent in the faith.
Yep.
And she says you got to stick to it.
Right.
She said you got to hang in there.
Right.
She said you got to when the road gets a little rough.
Yep.
You still got to stick with Jesus.
Right.
You know, Jesus really modeled diligence for us.
Yes, he did.
When that cross, when Jesus was going up Calvary's mountain, Calvary wasn't no flat plain.
Right.
It was Calvary's mountain.
Right.
That was a hill.
Right.
And then he had a cross on his back where no one carried that load for him.
Jesus.
The Lord carried that cross by himself. And yes, everything around him was trying to get him to call it quits with his mission.
Right.
Call it quits with his purpose.
Right.
But the Lord was determined.
Yep.
Paul said, we saw him be obedient unto death.
Yeah.
He said, even the death of the cross. When he knew what that death, what that cross was going to do, it wasn't meant to feel good.
No.
It wasn't meant to make him smile.
Right.
That cross represented pain.
Yes.
It represented agony.
Yes.
He was paying for the cost of your salvation.
Yes.
The Lord was diligent in that thing. You realize before there was a crown, there was a cross. And if the Lord said, if I suffered, you got to pick up your cross.
Right.
He said, if any man is to ever come after me, he's got to deny himself and he's got to learn to pick up his cross and follow me. Jesus said, I don't have sympathy for you that want to moan and cry about life. Lord said, I took that cross. Lord said, the only thing I want you to do is pick it up. Pick it up and follow me. Lord, that's what I want you to do.
I want you
to be diligent in it. I want you to learn to be consistent.
Yes.
He said, you realize in 1 Corinthians, Paul was going through that thing about the coming of Jesus and about what the saints can look forward to.
Right.
And everybody goes on to it.
Yep.
But they don't go down to verse number 58.
No,
and he tells you what you got to be.
Right.
If you want this hope, if you want to see your body be changed, he said you got to learn to be steadfast. That word steadfast means you got to be consistent.
Right.
It's got to be. It can't just be Jesus' name in here.
Right.
You got to be consistent with his name. You can't just tarry in here.
Right.
You got to be consistent with the tarrying.
Right.
You should be tarrying in your car.
Right.
You should be tarrying in your home.
Right.
Everywhere you go, the Lord should be consistency.
Yeah.
Consistency in your life.
That's
he says you got to learn to be diligent.
Yep.
You got to be consistent in this. He says, wherefore be ye steadfast.
Yep.
Your life got to be unmovable.
Yep.
Yes.
That's true.
You got to be in this. You can't be in this for the moment.
No.
You can't just be in this for the good times only. You can't be in this for the music.
Because right.
when the music stops, yep. the question remains right. about your soul.
Yes.
What condition is your soul
right.
in?
Right.
What are you going through when you're in your house by yourself
right.
and when nobody's around
right.
and everybody's asleep?
Right.
What is the quality of your mind?
Right.
Is your mind in chaos?
Right.
Or has it found a sense of peace?
Yeah.
There's so many people that sing about Jesus,
right.
talk about Jesus,
yeah.
but I guarantee you when it's over,
yeah.
their life is in shambles.
Yeah.
Their mind, Isaiah said, is like the wave.
Yeah.
It's like the wave yeah. that you yeah. see of the sea.
Yeah.
It's just driven with
yeah.
the wind
yeah.
and tore.
Right.
Jesus said, I don't care how much they sing
yep.
about Jesus,
yep.
they talk about him.
Yep.
The Lord said, they are the wicked.
Yes.
And there is no peace.
Right.
That is my
no
God.
Peace.
I don't care what they put on Facebook.
Right.
I don't care what the vacation show,
right.
with the beautiful island, the palm
yeah.
tree.
Yep.
Jesus said, there is
no
peace. They're on that beach
yep.
in shambles.
Yes.
Their minds are still like the waves.
Yeah.
Of the sea. But the Lord is telling you that's not what he's going to do when he saves you. He doesn't save you for your mind to remain like a wave of the sea. The Lord, when he saved you, he brought you into contentment. He brought you to a place of stability. He brought your mind out of unstableness, out of a sense of wavering. Because the Lord, when you receive the Holy Ghost, he answers that question.
Yes.
That question you've been
yes.
having
yes.
since the day you were born.
Right.
You realize you've been trying to define your life.
Jesus.
If somebody put your name next to life, have a hash mark.
Right.
That definition is blank. Because
yep.
you've been searching all your life to try to find
yes.
what is the definition
yes.
to my life?
To my life?
What is the purpose
yes.
of my life?
Why
am I
Why
here?
Am
You've been looking for that, but when you get the Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost gives you the definition as to why you are created. He said, for my glory.
That's what he said.
The Lord don't save you to keep you, have you looking for something else.
Right.
The Lord saves you, he settles you.
Yeah.
He settles that question
yes,
in your mind.
Yes,
he doesn't have you unstable.
No.
He doesn't have you wavering.
Yep.
He doesn't have you all topsy-turvy
yes.
in your mind.
Yep.
He tells you you ought to learn to be diligent.
Yep.
When you come into holiness, that's one lesson you're going to have to learn. You're going to have to realize that life is not going to change because you decide to follow Jesus.
Yes.
You're still going to experience hurt. You're going to experience grief.
Yes.
And all that stuff you
yep.
still got to deal with. But the difference is I saved you
yes.
so that you can be diligent.
Right.
He said, I'll plant your feet on a solid ground.
That's true.
He said, I brought you in here so that you can learn to be consistent.
Right.
He said, I didn't save you for you to be up 1 minute, down the next.
Right.
He said, what good is that salvation?
And that
it can't bring stability in your life.
Jesus.
I don't want to join that's just in here.
Right.
If anything, I need it most when I'm out there.
Because
I got to deal with the demons out there.
Yeah.
If there's anywhere I need peace, it's when I'm out there. The world is not at peace.
No,
they try to bring their fears.
Yep.
They try to dump their fears onto
on
you.
Yeah.
And you don't realize if you're not careful,
Jesus.
It will bring a wavering to your faith. That's what happened with Peter out there on that boat.
Yes,
when the Lord told him to come.
Yep.
As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus,
he
was able to walk on water.
Jesus.
But the scripture says in Luke
yep.
that when he started paying attention,
yes.
too much attention,
yes.
too much attention
right.
was being given to the storm.
Right.
And when he started paying attention to that storm,
yep.
it was doing something to his
yes.
faith. He was losing his confidence.
Yes, he was.
And it was being reflected in
yes.
his walk.
Yes, it was.
Luke said he started thinking. You see why you can't pay attention to what you're going through.
Right.
You've got to keep your eyes fixated.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be firmly on Jesus. Look unto Jesus. Don't you know he's the author and he is the finisher of your faith?
Yes.
And he's everything in between.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
That's yes, why that song said, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Your mother cannot do you like Jesus. When I was telling the saints, you realize one day we came in here because the love of our mom stopped.
Yep.
The hugs of our mother, it was losing strength.
Right.
We used to feel so good. We used to be in mama's arms.
Right.
I used to just relax.
Yep.
And like all of your worries were over.
Yep.
But then one day as you got older, as you grew up,
yep,
as you started dealing with life,
yep,
and all of its challenges,
yep,
the love of those hugs,
yep,
it started losing strength.
Yes,
it wasn't able to produce what I wanted it to.
That's right.
The hugs of my family were running out.
Yep.
The conversations of my job,
yep,
all of my friendships,
yep,
it was no longer able to provide what I was looking for.
Right.
But then I look over in Romans,
yep,
5:8, where it says the Lord commended
yep
his love toward me. When that love of my family stopped,
yep,
the love of Jesus was still there.
Yes, it was.
It was letting me know that while I was yet a sinner, he went on and died for me.
Yes.
That cross was a cross of love.
Yes.
He loved me beyond what I just, you realize we, to all of us,
Jesus,
every last one of us deserves to die.
Jesus.
We deserve to be in hell.
Yes.
But right, that's what we deserve. We don't deserve Jesus.
No.
Jesus is holy.
Yep.
We were born in sin.
Right.
Destitute the for destruction.
Yep.
But some kind of way, I kept thinking about Jesus.
Yep.
Somebody kept preaching that Jesus loves you.
Yeah.
Jesus came.
Yeah.
Jesus provides.
Yeah.
Jesus is your help.
Yeah.
Jesus is your strength.
Yeah.
Jesus will be there when nobody else can be there.
Else.
Some kind of way, that message, it found its way inside of the real self. Oh, see, that word, it was like digging.
Yep.
It was
yep
digging through that dead end zone.
Yep.
On that dead end.
Yep.
In my mind, when I would stop up my ears,
yep,
I would be resistant to the message.
Jesus.
But the word kept digging. And it kept on digging.
Jesus.
And one day I realized I saw that love.
Jesus.
And that love was being reciprocated.
Jesus.
To let me know that I could live.
Yeah.
I didn't have to feel the way I felt.
Oh.
I'm feeling the way I feel because that's what I want to be. I realized that was what I wanted.
Yeah.
But I realized that the love of Jesus on that cross, it picked me up.
That
love let me know that I could live.
Yeah.
He could make something out of my life.
Right.
But he said, you've got to remain diligent.
Yeah.
If you, I have saved you, but that's not the end goal of your salvation.
Right.
The great end is the glorification.
Yeah.
When Jesus shall change my body and liken it unto his glorious body. When I look at the body of Jesus, when he got up out of that grave, that he had conquered death.
Yes, he
made death his footstool.
Yes,
he said, I'm going to have the same body, just like him.
Just like Jesus.
When I look at Jesus' body, there was no sin on him.
Right.
He didn't feel down.
No,
he didn't feel depressed.
No,
he didn't feel lonely.
No,
he didn't feel like he didn't have a friend.
Yeah.
That body had him feeling great.
Yeah.
That's why he said, touch me now.
Yeah.
I have not yet offended.
Yep. Yep.
That's what I'm looking for.
That's what I'm looking for.
But I know in order to get there, I got to be diligent. Paul said we got to be steadfast.
Right.
You realize in order to do that, there's got to be a sense of determination.
That's true.
There has to be in you
a
sense of determination.
Right.
Something inside of you to keep going despite what is approaching you.
Right.
See, everybody wants to be for Jesus as long as they can get something out of it. As long as Jesus keeps us the bright sunshine, long as Jesus keeps the grass growing, I can serve him.
Yep.
But the Lord has already told me there's going to come a day when he's going to test my faith.
Yes.
There will be no sunshine.
Yes.
There will be cloudy days.
Right.
When I look at that cross of Jesus, Scripture said the sun was not shining.
Yes.
Scripture said it was dark from the sixth hour down to the ninth hour. When I look at Jesus on that cross, everybody mocked him. Jesus was going through. But he said he was determined to remain steadfast. He was unmovable. And he modeled diligence for us. We got to pick up that same attitude in the good times and in the bad. When you're happy and when you're sad. afraid to be in for the good times only. The Lord didn't tell me all of my sorrows were going to be over because I decided to follow him. If anything, my sorrows picked up. David said, many are the afflictions
of the righteous.
He said, but the Lord has delivered us. You got to go back and recall to your mind. Even in the darkest of days, Jesus has always been there for you. You can't recall an instant when you were on death's door where Jesus was not there, even when you didn't deserve his deliverance. When you didn't deserve it, when you rejected him, he still showed you his salvation. He still showed you, I'm here to be with you. I'm here to support you.
Jesus.
We didn't come this way to be in it for the good times only. If I was in it for the good times only, I'd be unsafe. But I came this way. You got to be in this for the long haul. You got to be willing to go all the way with you. Not just for the good times. You got to be willing to go all the way. You got to be willing to call Jesus if nobody else. I mean, because you're not in this for popularity. You're in this so that your soul. Where is the focus about my soul? When do I take attention and accountability for my soul? When people ask you, why are you at the altar? You should be able to say, because it's about my soul. It ain't got nothing to do with you. People be saying you shouldn't be down there calling Jesus. That's your business. This is my soul. I choose to call. Joshua said, ask for me. Joshua made it personal.
He
said, you all can choose what you want. Ask for me. And it looked like Joshua got into the promised land. Because he said, ask for me. This is between me and Jesus. He said, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve Jesus. When I catch the bus going to church, I'm choosing to serve Jesus. I'm being diligent in it. Sometimes you sit in the chair, you may be looking for the answer. The Lord may not give it to you. But you still, the Lord, you still ought to be diligent. You still ought to be steadfast. I should see a sense of unmovable about you. Jesus said, I'm counting on you to be dedicated. To be consistent in serving me. You can't just be out there. You realize the stuff is out here. The stuff is out here to keep your mind bombarded. To keep your mind crowded. To keep your mind packed. You're always thinking about everything. Everything. And you don't even realize why you're thinking about everything. A thing called time is still ticking. And it's still going by. Next thing you know, a year done gone by. You don't want a vacation. You don't want your children's school performance. You don't want to hear that everywhere. And you still haven't taken no time. I mean, you haven't taken no time to be concerned about your soul. We were talking about it the other day. I said, everybody always want to put the blame on everybody else. Why I respond the way I respond. Why the things come out of my mouth because such and such. But just getting on my nerves. No, that stuff's been in you. It's been in you from a child. And you're not taking the time to get that stuff out of you. And that stuff is affecting your witness. It's affecting your witness. Your testimony. That's the worst thing that can happen to a saint. For you to lose your testimony. It's hard. Once you lose it, it's hard to get it back. That's why you got to be so careful. You got to be very careful what you say out your mouth. You got to be careful how you respond. When you find that stuff, you better, Jesus said, repent quickly. You better do something with that. That's the spirit. Nothing's been kept up in you since you were a little girl. But you got to get that stuff out of you. You say, Jesus, create in me a thought plenty. A renewal in me. A right spirit. Don't take your Holy Ghost from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Bring my mind back. Bring my mind back to what I felt when I was crying out to you. I know what I got through your name. I didn't call God. I didn't say, Lord, Heavenly Father. They told me to call Jesus when I got tired. They said, keep going. Be diligent. Jesus. They said, in it.
Right.
She said, put your all into it. Trust everything else. We trust the government to give us our money first of the month. We don't even think twice about it. Because you look for the government to do that job. We look for everything. But that same kind of mind got to be put into his name. And then you got to stick with it. It's not a Sunday only. It's got to be a Monday, a Tuesday, Wednesday. When you wake up yawning, when you're typing at your computer, it doesn't hurt for you to say Jesus. You're not hurting yourself.
No, you're not.
To call God back. I think sometimes you should ask the Lord. Say, now, Jesus, why did you give us your name? Ask him. Just ask him. Why did you take the time to give us your name? They say, we do it for baptism. You know, there's a lot of apostles that do baptism in Jesus' name.
They
Jesus' name down. I said, I don't understand how they do it for baptism. But when it comes to receiving Jesus, they won't come through his name. I said, that's how you know the devil is working. The devil, Satan is a manipulator.
Yes,
he likes to manipulate the scripture. But when you read Acts 2:21, I don't care how hard you run from it. Every time you come back to that particular verse, it's going to tell you the exact same thing. Whosoever shall call up on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be. And I didn't start with Peter.
Nope.
Peter said, I'm only giving you what Joel saw. He said, I'm just picking up with Joel. See, I got the experience. Sanctified the Holy Ghost. We have a good foundation. Because we got something called experience. Experience outbeats everything. You be going and saying, oh, I've seen so many people out of it. Yeah, but I got an experience. That experience outbeats what the popularity is doing. Because I know what the name did for me. I got a good memory. I remember what the good qualities that came out. That came out of his
Jesus,
name.
Jesus.
I know that name was giving me something called love.
Jesus.
And I'm not talking about no hug and no kiss. I'm talking about having, when love is patient. The love of Jesus is kind. I didn't want to step on an egg. See, I know what I got out of that name.
That's right.
And I got joy. That means I wasn't talking about going out to go to the club. I'm talking about I had the glad
Jesus.
About Jesus.
Yeah.
I was so unbothered.
Jesus.
I was so unbothered.
Jesus.
I mean, everything was going on. But I was so unbothered. It was like I was free to praise him. I had nothing restricting me. There was nothing inside of me that was holding me back.
Jesus.
And it was the more I kept saying, hallelujah, Jesus, the more my soul kept leaping inside of me. But I got to remember that to remain diligent. I got to remember that that's just a foretaste. See, I haven't seen joy in its fullness.
No.
I only know joy in part. That little portion. See, it's a portion of Jesus. And that portion fills you up. But when we go back with Jesus, we're going to know joy at a level. At a level we have never experienced before. So much so that Jesus, John said, Paul said, I heard words that were unlawful for a man to utter. I'm looking for that joy. I'm looking for joy in his fullness. I'm looking for peace. Experience peace in his fullness. I'm not in this to be in it 30%. I don't want no 30% peace.
Because
that ain't no real peace.
No.
I don't want no 50. I want to know peace in his fullness. With that word, that expression, they say it's levels to this. And you realize that when we get to go back with Jesus, we're going to know joy at a level. I mean, his joy is going to be free to roam. It's going to just flow in and out of our body. I mean, like a wind.
No restraint.
That body's going to be able to just absorb all of what Jesus has for me. So much so that he said, the things of this life won't even come into your mind. Because your mind will be so consumed with all of who Jesus is. Do you realize, you think about when you received the Holy Ghost? It was so overpowering. It was so overwhelming. Your mind couldn't even have time to think about nothing else. You could care less about the building, the people. You were just glad to have Jesus. But you sure got to be diligent. You got to be in this for the long haul. You got to be in this when you're crying. You got to be in this when you're happy. You got to be in this when it looks like nobody loves you. You still ought to hang in there with Jesus. Even when the disciples, Lord had found them asleep. He said, he came over there. He said, I thought I told y'all to watch with me. He said, for 1 hour. Them disciples are like a sleeping spirit. They down their eyes. They kept going to sleep. And every time Jesus would go in prayer, and they didn't realize he was praying for them. And every time he looked, they would find him
sleeping.
And Jesus kept coming back. He was shaking his head. He said, go. He said, the spirit is willing.
But the flesh.
There's that other unsaved part of you. That part is weak.
It
don't want to do right. It don't want to do what is right. It want to do everything else except what Jesus is asking. Jesus said, call my name. Flesh say, I ain't going to do that. Flesh say, I'm going to do it the way I want. Doing it at home. I said, no, you can't do this the way you want. Jesus has a specific plan. And this plan is, it is designed to help you get out of sin. But if you get in this and you try to do it, you're not going to get nothing out of it. And eventually you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get annoyed because everybody else is moving and rejoicing in Jesus. And you are still at the same square. You're trying to. You can't move. You got to follow the plan. I told the saints, follow the plan. If you follow the plan, it'll work. It'll work. He said, but you got to be steadfast. So you got to be unmovable. He said, the Lord said he ought to see you always. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. One passage he said, you ought to occupy. He said, till I come. One writer, Paul, told Timothy, said, you ought to give heed to exhortations, to readings. The only way you can do that is you got to come to church. You got to sit down and hear the exhortation. You got to hear the warning. You got to hear the call. Hear the call of Jesus. The call is not for you to stay where you are. He will always be calling you to move up a little bit higher. To come up a little bit more. You don't. I tell things all the time. I said, don't get comfortable where you're at. Because he's always going to keep calling you to keep on coming up. To keep on moving forward. Don't get comfortable.
But
where you keep moving. Wherever the Lord leads, you learn to follow.
That's true.
You got to learn that. You got to learn the Lord's going to keep you moving. He said he got to keep you always abounding. I believe the saints should be doing that. In the work of the Lord. He said, because you got a knowledge. Saints that have the Holy Ghost, you have an understanding. He says that your labor
is not.
You know that. You know that, but then you're. Nobody should have to come and pat you on the back to remind you of what's to come. When he saved you, he put that inside of you. He lets you know you can make it. I was telling somebody the other day, they said, oh, Dr. Singleton, I just lost somebody very dear to me. They said they were very close. And I told them, I said, listen, I said, I hope you don't be upset. I said, but I don't really have a lot of sympathy for those kind of things. I lost a mom, a dad, and a brother. But that ain't no excuse to not serve Jesus. You can still come
you
to church.
You can still come to church.
Because your mama, your daddy, they didn't save.
No, they did not.
Think about the word. They did not save. They did not bring a peace in your mind. Who put peace? Put a name to that. See, if you know the source of your joy, if you know the source of your joy, you realize you can still make it. Because you got the source. You got the source is in you. The source is in you. Should be in you. Should be there to keep your mind at peace. See, that's why you really got to have the Holy Ghost. You can't do this because mommy and daddy want you to do it. You got to do this. You got to have the real salvation. Because when mom and daddy stop breathing, You better have Jesus. I mean, all the way. I mean, he got to be anchored.
Jesus.
I mean, he got to get a hook.
Yes.
Jesus got to get a hook inside you. You got to say, I got to pull on that anchor.
Yes.
And you got to drag me through it.
Yes.
He said, Jesus, I'm here.
Right.
No matter how. And one thing I was understanding is about prayer.
Yeah.
I said, real prayer is ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real prayer.
Yeah.
If you look at any of those people in the scripture that were crying out to Jesus for deliverance, that prayer session was real ugly to the public.
Yeah.
That woman that was washing Jesus' feet with her tears, that was a real ugly prayer to that publican.
Yeah.
Why? Because she was all down on the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, boo-hoo crying.
Right.
See, real prayer.
Right.
Not none of that reservation stuff.
Right.
Not none of that imagery.
Right.
You know, sometimes we have an image how we want prayer to look.
Yeah.
But when the real prayer goes on, the prayer where you're out of yourself, when you're out of yourself, you forgot about your thoughts, you forgot about yourself, how you look, image, how you look, when all of that is pushed in the back, and you see prayer can get real ugly, but it's the best thing for you. See, when you really pray, it's healthy. Prayer is a good counsel session. That woman was all down at his feet.
Yep.
Said she was just wailing.
Yep.
That Jesus ended up talking to that publican.
Yep.
And he told that publican, he said, brother, he said, while I was all in your house, he said, now one time did you think to come and wash my feet?
Right.
He said, or to wipe my feet with He said, but look at this woman.
Yep.
I mean, he takes his attention.
Yep.
See, sometimes the Lord had to do that. He had to remind you of what a good cry out, what it did for you.
Yeah.
He said, just look at it.
Yeah.
And she was all down. I sometimes in my mind, I imagine that. While Jesus was talking, she just interrupted his whole conversation. Y'all realize how much that meant to Jesus? That Jesus was working with somebody.
Right.
He was working with the brother. But he had to stop his conversation. Because this woman was really crying out. And I didn't know I was talking. Said, you know such, such, such. And here comes this woman. Ooh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. 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 Remember, she was, what you cared about, she did not care about.
Right.
See, real prayer.
Yep.
Jesus. 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 All on the floor. I can imagine she was knocking against the chair.
Yep.
Jesus! 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 Now, man, Jesus said, wait a minute. He said, look at her. Jesus! He said, now, while I was talking to you, you didn't do this.
Yep.
He said, but look at how much. He said, yes, her sins are many.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but listen at the love.
Yeah.
I was telling the things on Wednesday, the Lord knows our love language.
Yes, he does.
He knows what love from you sounds like.
Yes, he does.
See, that? See, Jesus can interpret love.
Yep.
He knows when that heart and when that mind is serious.
Yeah.
I mean, when it really wants Jesus.
Right.
See, you. When it really wants Jesus. She was all down at his feet.
Yep.
She was just taking her tears.
Yep.
I can imagine just washing.
Jesus.
Just taking another group of tears.
Yep.
Taking it and just washing. There was a sense of respect.
Yep.
See, when you pray healthy communication, you acknowledge Jesus for who he is. You reverence him as God.
Yes.
There should be a level of respect.
Bad.
Not just for this man that hung on the cross. That's not who Jesus is. Jesus says, I am God. Where is the respect for him being God? That woman, she respected him. And it was shown in her actions. Washing her feet, then she took her hair and dismantled her hair. Took her glory and wiped his feet with her hair. To let her know, Jesus, you are worthy.
Yeah.
You realize in those days, they had those dung.
Mm-hmm.
It was horse manure out there on the street.
Yeah.
And they would wear those sandals.
Yep.
And sometimes they would track that stuff in the house. So Jesus, his feet had all of that stuff on it. She ignored the dung. She ignored the dirt. She reverenced him. You are worthy of the honor. All the praise. Just found it in your heart somewhere, Jesus, to help and have forgiveness. Have mercy on me. I know who I am. I don't need nobody to tell me. I see my sin. I see my sin. Not somebody else's. Me. I see me. That's why I'm here at your feet. Because I need you to find forgiveness and to have mercy on me.
Jesus
said, I can do something with this prayer. See, real prayer is ugly. It's real. Elder Sam Scott used to say that lady down Roanoke. He used to tell me, he said, you haven't had a good prayer. You had a good old snotty nose. I mean, sometimes you need to get to the altar and let that stuff come out. I mean, let the tears flow. If you're hurting, I believe you ought to bring it to Jesus. If you're sad, I believe you ought to bring it to Jesus. You ought to let that prayer get real ugly. You ought to let the tears flow. That's the only way you're going to feel better.
Jesus.
You got to get that stuff out. And then the Lord said, now I want you to be diligent. I want you to be a follower. Okay, if you're going to follow anybody, follow Jesus. Respect Jesus for who he is. That was one passage in that in Psalms. He said, unto the children of Israel, he made known his acts. But unto Moses, he showed him his way.
Right.
In other words, he showed him who he is.
Right. Right.
See, everybody wants Jesus as long as they can get.
Right.
You know, we got that spirit. We want to get from Jesus.
Right.
All the time. Get. But sometimes you ought to ask the Lord to show, let him show you who he is. And I believe we'll feel a whole lot better when we let Jesus show us his. And I don't mean just in here. You need to let him really show you. I mean, minister to your mind. Let him show you who he is. His divine power. I think about that lady. I really do all the time when I'm in prayer. And I take her out of it. And I put me there. I'm in there and I'm crying out to Jesus. Say, Jesus, now you know me. If anybody know you, Jesus knows you. David said he knows your secret, folks.
Yes, he does.
I mean, the stuff nobody, you think nobody else knows. Jesus said, I know it.
Right.
He said, I know that heart is deceitful. And he said, and it's desperately wicked. And Jeremiah said, who can know it? The Lord said, I know it. But we got to bring that stuff to, we got to let him fix us.
Right.
And then once he fixed, you got to be diligent.
Yeah.
He's a rewarder. See, I told the saints that at home. I said, this is a lesson we got to learn.
Yeah.
There are many things, variation of principles that can be applied to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But a good one is diligent.
Yeah.
As I always say, everybody can be. I see a lot of that. I see a lot of that in the moment prayer.
Yeah.
As long as the music going and the people are shouting, everybody be saying, oh, we had a good time.
Yes, yeah.
But then when it's prayer service, you see the same little few.
Yeah.
And you say, wait a minute, there's a disconnect.
Yeah.
What you're saying, what I'm saying at prayer service, something is breaking.
Yeah.
In between whatever you felt, in between prayer, something is breaking.
Yep.
There's not a consistency.
Right.
There's not a stableness about you.
Right.
And the Lord doesn't save us for us to be unstable.
Right.
He saved us so that we could. He said, be ye steadfast and unmovable.
Always.
You got to learn that. He said, always abounding in the work of. He said, for as much as you have that knowledge, he said, that your labor. You know it's not. And before that, he told you what's to come.
Right.
He said, you don't have to wonder. You don't have to look out in the stars and say, what? I don't know what's beyond. You do know what's beyond. If you have Jesus, you should know anyway. The Lord, he answers those questions. And I may get her do a lesson at home. She said, everybody claim the Holy Ghost. She said, I didn't claim the Holy Ghost. I received.
Right.
She said, everybody claim.
Right.
He said, it's something different when you receive the Holy Ghost. He said, anybody can claim. You know, they do that in school. I got the answer. Teacher say, who knows the answer? Everybody claim. I got the answer. But it's not like that. That's not how you receive the Holy Ghost. You receive it. Jesus will come right on in and save you. But we have to learn. If we want the Holy Ghost, we can have it. But you got to learn to be there. Because he says he's a rewarder. See, you can't miss reward. I think is an important word.
Yes, it is.
So that tells you that's what you want.
Right.
See, you crying out for a reward.
Right.
But he's telling you the condition.
Yep.
He says you got to be diligently seeking me.
Right.
And it's not just for the unsaved.
Right.
I cringe sometimes when I hear that. They say, oh, the altar is just for the unsaved. Who told you that?
Right.
Where you get that from?
That
everybody should be. Everybody's a seeker. You be seeking till you leave here.
That's the truth.
We will always be calling Jesus till we leave here. Even when you have a good press, that's good.
Yep.
But you got some more calling to do. Because,
right.
See, we got to do it until.
Right.
See, until the Lord call us home.
Right.
Sometimes you get off. You make it off in your mind. You need to find a place where his name is being lifted up.
Yep.
His name is being respected. The Lord will come on back.
Yep.
And he'll bless your mind.
Yes, he will.
He'll bring your mind back.
Yes,
to understanding, this is what it's about.
Right.
I thank the Lord. Yes,
thank
my mind got a little weak. I was going through something.
Yes.
Right.
But I thank the Lord. The saints kept putting it in my ear.
Right.
To call Jesus.
Right.
They say, don't think about nothing else in your mind.
Yes.
Don't let no other conversations come in your mind. You got to protect this.
Yes, you do.
This is how you serve Jesus.
Yeah.
If this leaves, I don't know how you make it.
Right.
I really don't know how people make it without Jesus. I don't know how you do it.
Right.
I don't know who gives you that false sense of hope.
Right.
Because if it's anything outside of Jesus, it's a false sense of hope.
It is.
Jesus is the only one that gives us hope.
Jesus.
And I don't know how people do it without. You can't make it without Jesus.
That's the truth.
Sometimes people, I stay at home, people come in and say, Elder Singleton is like, we have too much service. No, we're not.
Right.
We're not having too much service.
Right.
We're not having enough.
Right.
You realize when we go back with Jesus, that's a 24/7 service?
Okay. Yep.
Non-Jesus. That's one praise service that don't.
Does not stop.
Those doors don't close.
No.
Those doors are open all day long. I mean, I can imagine. Sometimes I think about it, I say, oh man, I know the saints up there are having a good time.
Yeah.
I mean, all of their sorrows are over.
Jesus.
I mean, it's over.
I was sad.
I couldn't get up here for Mother Beth's funeral.
Right.
But all in my mind, I just kept saying, I said, ooh, I know she's having a good time.
Yeah.
I know she is enjoying.
Yeah.
You realize she is touching the King of Kings?
Yeah.
She gets to actually feel him.
Yeah.
No more visuals.
No.
No more dreams.
No.
She actually gets to know who the creator of life is.
Yep.
All that goodness that's in him.
Yep.
And I remember all the saints just magnify. I mean, you know, when I was coming up, we used to hear the saints outside. You hear all that praise and just be going up. And all in my mind, I said, I know the saints are enjoying Jesus. You can just hear. And if you're spiritual enough, you can really almost hear. What that song say? I'm too close to heaven. You can actually almost hear. The praises of the saints.
Jesus.
I mean, just, man, it just be good.
Yep.
And you can hear it all in the. I know my mother had a loud voice.
Right.
All the saints in that praise. You should want to say, ooh, I can't wait till it's my turn. I don't have to worry about my mom. She's in a better position than me. I'm the one that still got to get there. She's there.
Yep.
It's me that's got to get there. Say, go right on. I said, go ahead, Mother God.
Right.
Enjoy.
Right.
Enjoy. I believe that when saints leave out here, I believe that should be our testimony.
Yeah.
Go ahead and enjoy. Because we shall not all sleep.
Yeah.
But one day all of us are going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of lift up your head.
Yeah.
What do you mean? This is life over here. Ain't no death over here. He don't conquer death. He said, I'll come that you might have life.
That's what he said.
I mean, if you're spiritual enough,
Jesus.
I mean, you should hear it, saints.
Yep.
You should, I mean, to hear the hallelujah,
yeah.
To hear the thank you, Jesus,
yeah.
To hear the I praise you.
Yeah.
No middle person. No glory is being given to an angel.
Right.
It's not being given to all the mother.
Right.
They're all praising,
yeah,
Jesus.
Right.
And when that church in heaven comes to meet with the church down here, Scripture said he's going to make the two one.
One.
And it's going to be one salvation.
Huh?
It's the same Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It's going to flow from you to you to you to you. It's going to move like a rush of mighty wind. And we're going to praise the same one God. It won't be a mistake. It won't be a dream. It's going to be reality. We're going to see him as he is. I'll be able to sing my song, how he brought me over.
Yes.
And I have to cry, yes.
Yes.
But I tell the saints, I praise him.
Because
he brought me through.
Me.
I didn't give it to nobody else. Jesus did it for me.
Yes.
I didn't deserve. I don't deserve to see him.
Jesus.
That's why I praise him. I know what I deserve. But his goodness and his mercy allowed me to escape the wrath. See, when you do that, you're going to praise him. You're going to give him a faith.
Yeah.
I mean, from your belly.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to praise him. No, you won't have this body to hold you back.
You
won't have no more pain, no more surgery. You will be free. The Lord said, he told them to enter into my joy. Huh? Not depression. When they leave, things leave out of here, they enter into his joy. See, paradise is more of a condition than it is a place. See, paradise is full of praise.
Yeah.
It's full of joy, love, peace.
Yeah.
Everybody's on the same page.
Yep.
We don't know. We don't know that environment, saints.
No, we don't.
We don't know what that environment is. Because we're surrounded by a bunch of people that don't love Jesus. And sometimes you get tired of pulling. You get tired. You like, Lord, how much longer? Paul said, I've grown. Sometimes I just grow. I want to be in that praise service. I'm not crazy. I just know what the scripture says. And I know it blesses my mind to hear it. To hear, I can hear the hallelujahs. I can hear the thank you. I can hear the praise. I can hear the saints telling their story. This story, Jesus, I thank you how you brought me through this. Jesus, how you brought me through this. How you brought me over this trial. How you pulled me under this test. Jesus, when I was looking to rise no more, some kind of way, you pulled my hand up and you set my feet on a solid foundation. Jesus, I didn't forget that. I didn't forget. Therefore, I praise you.
That's right.
I call it unrestricted
praise.
Unrestricted. There are no reservations in heaven. Everybody is unrestricted praise. There's no holdbacks. No, nothing there to stop you. Nothing to say it's time to go home. No. This is a different kind of environment. This is an environment of everybody who's loved him by his name.
Yeah.
Everyone there knows God by his name. Nobody in heaven is saying God. Everybody is calling him by his name. They're saying Jesus. He is the message in the heaven. He's the message in the church. You best believe he's the message in heaven. Jesus is the message.
Yes, he is.
You don't have to wonder who God is.
Yes.
All of them.
Yep.
Okay, and one day,
oh,
the two are going to be into one.
Goodness, Jesus.
We're going to be caught up together
Jesus.
To meet him.
Yep.
To meet, I think about, and not just to just see him,
yep.
But I feel I get to touch his hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get to feel that strength that the scriptures talk about. I get to feel that power that the scriptures say is in him. To feel how strong he is. To feel that deep power that's vested in him. The one that can take life in just a blink of an eye. I get to rub up against that. And to know that is a power there. To let him know he's the supreme ruler.
That's true.
Yeah, but in order for us to be there, we got to be steadfast. That's lesson we have to learn.
Yep.
I know sometimes for Jesus, I'll be ready to go. Lord, say, you got work to do.
Right.
You know, one thing, all the saints, they gone back with Jesus. They worked.
They worked.
They didn't just slip and slide.
Yep.
You don't just get in this by accident.
Yep.
Right.
You work.
You work.
You show the Lord you wanted this.
Right.
So you don't just get to enter into the joy just freely.
Yep.
You show the Lord something.
Yep.
You showed him all up in the midnight hour.
Yes.
I was in there praying.
Yep.
I was in there fasting. When it looked like nobody else cared about you, Jesus.
Yep.
I kept showing care.
Yep.
I kept showing concern.
Right.
I was concerned about you, Lord Jesus, for my life.
Right. Right.
Not so much concerned about you. You're fine.
Right.
I was concerned about my life.
Right.
Making sure that when the time comes, there's no reservation.
Right.
There's no reason why
I
don't make it back
with
Jesus.
Right.
We have to remember that.
Yep.
Saints, all of those things are to encourage us.
Yes.
It is to tell you, lift your head up.
Yep. Yes.
Don't have no bow down your head. Lift your head up. Lord said, I'm life.
Right.
Lord said, I know what I'm doing.
Jesus.
I was with your loved ones long before you even came on the scene.
Yeah.
I was with them when they ain't even had no mind.
Right.
I know what I'm doing.
Yes,
you just make sure your house, when the time comes for the Lord to call you, just make sure you be ready.
That's
and that's what you got to do. You got to, as the scripture said, the bride, she made herself ready.
Yep.
I said the marriage of the Lamb had come.
Yep.
One thing about it, when the Lord calls, that's it.
Yep.
Whatever we choose to do, you can apologize to Jesus all day long. We were talking about that coming up here.
Yep.
We're saying we have to do it in this dispensation.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next one is not time for salvation for us.
Nope.
We have to take advantage of Jesus' grace.
Yep.
Don't sit on it.
Nope.
Don't take his freedom, his free course. Don't take it in vain. Don't take it and throw it in the trash and waste it, filling your life up with drugs, alcohol.
Yeah.
Don't waste the Lord's grace
don't
doing that.
Don't waste his grace on that.
If he gave you grace so that he can give you time to get your soul right.
Jesus.
Get your soul right.
Jesus.
If you do that, you'll feel a whole. You'll have something to praise Jesus for.
Right.
So we thank the Lord for the message on tonight.
Yes.
Be diligent.
Amen.
Be consistent.
Amen.
He tells us, you know that you're late. You know that it's not you.
Yes.
You know what